Let's continue to see the parable of servitude. In the 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, there are totally 8 to 9 parables. And the topic assigned to me is servitude and spiritual cultivation. And I would like to use the 8 parables to study what does servitude is really about. Through a very simple parable, we can understand the most profound servitude. And in each parable, we can understand the way we, the kind of cultivation we need to have. Now we go into the second one. The second one, the master builder. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 3, start from verse 10 to 15. The passage from verse 10 to 15 is talking about a parable of master builder. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another built on it, but let each one take heed how he built on it. From verse 10, we can understand that Paul has done his work of laying the foundation. And after work has been done, another person tried to build a building on top of that foundation. And that building can represent a person's faith. Yes, we all believe in Jesus Christ in the church. When you preach the gospel, just like in Africa, many people believe in Jesus Christ. So it's just like the foundation has been laid. Right? So the first trip, worker probably preach the gospel to a village. Many people believe in Jesus Christ. And the second trip, third trip of the worker, based on that foundation and try to build up your faith. So from here we know that the holy work of the church today in your local church, that was not done by a single person. The holy work of your local church now today, it has been done by many different workers, work as a team through different kind of gift. So the work has been done, right? Some have the gift of sowing the seed, as some have the gift of watering. And also, the current stage of the ministry of your local church, it had gone through 20 years, 30 or even 50 years. So 30 years ago, the first generation of worker, they laid the foundation. And the first generation of worker probably gradually retired. And then the second generation of worker, they built, they put the effort into it. And based on the foundation laid down by the first generation, also the church grew a little bit. Then, after the second generation worker retired, the younger generation succeed the ministry. And through their talent, through their gift, they put effort into it, so the church even grow more. So the current state of our church ministry is not done by one person. It is not done by one generation. Many different persons work together, and many generations work together, so the church can grow to the present stage. So if we have this kind of understanding, nobody will be able to boast, this church is because of me. And nobody dare to boast, right? They take the credit to one person. Actually, the credit should belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all only a worker of God. So how can we pass the baton of servitude to the next generation is very important. So the most ideal situation, for example, the church council. Church council actually is a group of people who lead the church. If the church council is very weak, and this church probably cannot grow. If a church which is growing, a lot of times because the church council is very spiritual and very strong. So church council is just like a locomotive of a train, pull the whole train forwards. So it's very important. And inside the church council, the most ideal situation is you have your older generation, you have a younger generation, you have even younger generation. Yes, some 70, 60, 50, 40, or 30s. Right? Why? Because different age of people, they serve different function in the church. And if we can combine all different age of the people, then you can see the ministry gradually can be carried out and passing on to the younger generation. For those who are 70s, one day they retire, and those who are 60 can succeed that kind of position, that kind of responsibility. All right? So we cannot say only the young people is useful and the elderly people is not, no need. But vice versa, we cannot say young people is not mature enough. The older people is more mature. They can make a proper judgment better. Each group are needed. So the church ministry can keep carry on. So it's very important. In the beginning of the servitude of Moses, what did he do? He chose a young man, right? Joshua, and he trained Joshua to work together with Joshua like a team. And in the beginning of Paul, his ministry, he trained Timothy. And eventually Timothy succeeds Paul, take over his work. In the beginning of ministry of Jesus Christ, he chose 12 disciples and trained them for 3 years. And after his ascension, he entrusted the ministry to the 12 disciples. So the same thing. In the church, we need to have some kind of awareness. When we are in charge of certain kind of work, we have to think about how to train the younger generation. So they can be ready to carry on the work based on the foundation we have laid. So this is the first point we can learn from a master builder. The first generation lays the foundation. The second generation, based on the foundation, build a solid building there. And the second point we can learn is, what are the true material for building members' faith? You know, eventually, the building will go through the trial. And for the building, that trial called fire. If the building can endure the burning fire, right, the building can remain standing there. If the building being consumed, and after the fire, the building that collapsed and burned into ashes. So we know that when we start to do the holy work, right, mainly the holy work can be categorized into two parts. The first is taking care of the sheep. The second is preaching the gospel to save soul. So all the other work, directly or indirectly, supporting in these two great commission. General affair, financial affair, and training department, everything is in supporting the pastoral work and evangelical work. So in the church, pastoral work and evangelical work is most important. And all the other work is in support of these two set essential work. Now, what is the true material of building members' faith? So the members' faith can go through trial and will not collapse. Let's take example of John chapter 6. One of the very powerful way to make the church member become very fervent. It can stimulate a member's faith, become very fervent, is what? John chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 15. What does this passage is talking about? John chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 15. It's talking about that Jesus was preaching and 5,000 people listened to Jesus preaching until the sunset. And every one of them were very hungry. And what did Jesus do? Jesus asked the disciple to provide food for them. And then the Philip say, how can it possible? Now it's so late. Even we have the money, we have nowhere to buy the food. But in that right moment, Jesus multiplied the bread, used 2 loaves of bread and 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes, and feed the 5,000 people. And after the 5,000 people ate the bread and fish, their attitude towards Jesus Christ changed instantly. So what's that? Verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen signs that Jesus did, say, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. So after they experience the blessing that Jesus multiplied the bread for them, they recognize Jesus Christ is the true prophet. Not only theoretically in their mind, they recognize Jesus Christ is the true prophet. But in action, they start to force Jesus to be their king. Right? 15. Therefore, when Jesus received what they were about to come, take him by force to make him king. Right? So they want Jesus to be king. They want Jesus to control them, to reign over them. So their zeal towards Jesus is very, very strong. But Jesus depart again to the mountain by himself alone. Jesus had no intention about doing that. Now, not only so, let's look into verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciple, they also got into boat and came to Capernaum and seeking Jesus. Look, when they did not see Jesus, they spent a lot of effort trying to looking for Jesus Christ. They want Jesus to become their king, right? And then they follow Jesus Christ, and then they're seeking for Jesus Christ. They were seeking for Jesus Christ. Now the question is, can these 5,000 people's faith consider very strong? Can these 5,000 people's, are the 5,000 people's faith considered very strong? No. How do you know? Okay. If we read verse 66, let's start from verse 60. Look into verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is hard saying. Who can understand it? Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? And verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And then 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Okay. So 5,000 people who follow Jesus Christ, eventually everybody gone away. Only 12 people remain there. Why? Because the 5,000 people's faith is under test. Under fire. And what kind of test? When Jesus start to say, you have to eat my bread, eat my flesh, you have to drink my blood, that 5,000 people were unable to accept that kind of saying. So one by one left. Only 12 people remain there. Okay. So what does that mean today? The 5,000 people, did they have experience about the blessing of God? Yes. Did they have the zeal to pursue after God? Yes. Do they want Jesus to become their king? Yes. Can they follow Jesus forever? No. When they follow Jesus to a point, it's too difficult, they just give up and left Jesus. So what does that mean? Eating the bread and fish multiplied by Jesus, referring to the physical material blessing we receive nowadays, right? When you have difficulty, you cannot find a job, you pray, God give you a job. And then when we are sick, we pray, God heal our sickness. When we are in a very dangerous situation, just like a car accident, you shout upon the name of God, and all of a sudden, God protect us that we are not harmed. We are safe. In our heart, we feel Jesus Christ is so good, Jesus Christ so wonderful. And then we start to come to the church to attend the service, and we start to shouting hallelujah, praise the Lord. But the question is that kind of faith is strong enough to withstand the fire? According to the Bible, the answer is no. So our faith needs to have experience about the blessing of God. But If our faith only building on receiving the blessing of God, one day our faith is going to collapse. Now, and the 12 disciples, the reason they remain to be with Jesus Christ, because of what reason? Verse 68 is the reason. But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So the 12 people, they follow Jesus not only for the bread. The 12 people follow Jesus, the most important reason is the words of eternal life. So even whatever Jesus says is very difficult to accept, very difficult to follow. But because Jesus Christ has the words of eternal life, through Jesus Christ's teaching, they are going to gain the eternal life. Because of this reason, they will never depart from Jesus. And that's called a building built with the true material. And that's called a building can withstand the fire. So we can see a church member, many of them, they come to the church, they receive Holy Spirit, and they even saw the vision, they experienced a lot of blessing, and after the baptism, a few years later, some of them are already gone. I don't know whether you see that in your local church. It's quite often. In Africa, it's even more often. I started getting involved with the ministry in Nigeria in 1983. There are so many mighty miracles. The cat, Satan be cast out, sick, been healed, the dead resurrected. Right? But if you listen to the testimony nowadays, how many members remain in Nigeria? Only a few hundred. Actually, in Nigeria, members being baptized is few thousand. More than 5,000. Now, not even one-tenth remain in the church. 90% gone. They receive blessing a lot. Why they were gone? Because the building cannot withstand the test of fire. Yeah. In other words, if their faith is rooted really on the words of eternal life, they will never depart from TJC. The reason I am in TJC is because I want to have eternal life. And eternal life from where? From the true teaching of the Bible. And where is the true teaching of the Bible? It's in TJC. Because church, according to 1 Timothy, right? Church is a pillar in support of the truth. Church built on the truth, yes. And church is supporting the truth. First Peter talk about it. So when we change another different church, they preach different truth. So we know TJC is the gate of heaven. Right? It's a ladder leading to heaven. Why? Because we have truth here. And because we have truth, so the Holy Spirit of truth abide in the church. We pray we can receive the Holy Spirit is because the truth is here. Once we have truth, once we have Holy Spirit, we are pretty much sure we can receive salvation. Right. Also, what does that mean? My faith is really built with a solid material, which means we build on the truth of eternal life. And what is the truth of eternal life nowadays? If we want to make it more specific, what is the truth of eternal life? In TJC, we say what? 10 articles of faith. Right? 10 articles of faith is the content of so-called 5 basic doctrines of true Jesus Church. And 5 basic doctrines contend with at least 3 sacraments. And what the sacrament means? Sacrament means the ritual which is related to salvation, right? water baptism, foot washing, and Holy Communion. Right? And five basic doctrine of TJC besides these three doctrines are is what? Holy Spirit and Holy Sabbath. Right? And these five actually is essential to our salvation. Right? So when we build a faith on top of the foundation of Jesus, we have to use a solid material. What is solid material? The solid material is not the blessing of God. The solid material is not the vision. The solid material is the truth of salvation. It's the truth of eternal life. The reason I chose to believe in Jesus Christ, not because in Jesus Christ my sickness can be healed, not because I pray God can resolve my difficulty, not because of that only. The most important point is because the truth of salvation here. So if we have this kind of conviction, then even though the fire is burning, we will never give up our faith. And this kind of faith can gone through the trial of fire. So this, the first material is what? The blessing of God. Yes, it's good to have the blessing of God, but if we only rely on the blessing of God, eventually we still will be gone, just like the 5,000 people, right? The second possible material is what? Human reason, right? So when Paul was doing his ministry, right, he talked about his goal, Colossians, chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Colossians, chapter 1. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Verse 29. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which worked in me mightily. So Paul mentioned, to this end, to this goal, I am labor, I'm striving hard. What is the goal? Right? I preach Jesus Christ, and I warn every man, and try to bring every man before Jesus Christ. I present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? When we do the holy work, we are not bringing the people to know ourselves. We are not preaching our own idea. We are not trying to use a personal favor to win people. The reason a person will believe in Jesus is because Jesus himself. Indirectly go through us and reach to Jesus. What is example? Example is, the second generation faith, right? The second generation nowadays is very comfortable. Life is very comfortable because parents take care of everything. So parents bring the second generation, the children, to the church, and parents encourage them to come to the church. So you can see, when the parents come and children come, right? So the children's faith actually is connected to parents' faith. And whether the children's faith is rooted, it has been built up with the true material, we don't know. Until one day, when the parents pass away, will the children still committed to Jesus Christ? That is questionable. Or until one day when the children move away from the parents, can the children still survive independent in their faith? That's questionable. Oh, so when we see the children in the faith, even in the college, we see them in the church, that doesn't mean their faith has been built with a solid material. Not until they live alone, not until they face difficulties, tribulation, and they're still committed to Jesus Christ. In that right moment, we know, oh, their faith is really built on a solid material. The same thing. When we bring the truth, the member to the or truth seeker to the church, yes, initially the member come to the church because of you and me, or because of a particular person. But gradually, we have to teach the member to get connected with God directly, to know God directly, to know the true church directly, by himself. So one day, if we withdraw ourselves, the members can still stand strong, can still stand firm. Just like a parent, you raise up the children to a point. You want the children, you can become independent. When the children become independent, anytime you are absent, the children still can survive. The same thing. So it's very important. When we bring the truth seeker to the church, our goal is to make them independent. How? We bring them before God and help them to get connected with God, to know God and get connected with God. And that kind of faith is called a build with the true material. So in the book of Acts, let's turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts chapter 5. Here is the advice of Gamaliel. Start from verse 33. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Chapter 5:33. Verse 34. And then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in respect by all the people. Gamaliel was a Pharisee, right? And Gamaliel tell them, verse 35, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourself and you intended to do regarding to this man." This man referring to what? Referring to Peter, an apostle. They were so fervent preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is different from the Judaism. So they would try to persecute Peter, even try to kill Peter. But Gamaliel was a person who had a common sense, who had a knowledge, and who has earned respect from the Israelites. And what did Gamaliel say? He quoted the history, right? "For some time ago, thousands rose up and claimed to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined them, and he was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing." Verse 37. "After this, a man, Judas of Galilee, rose up on the days of census and drew away many people after him, and he also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. So Gamaliel quoted the two historical events. Some people rose up and attract a group of people, right? And Gamaliel's conclusion is, if it is come from God, you cannot destroy them. If it did not come from God, eventually when the leader die, everybody will be disturbed or be dispersed. So he tried to apply this historical event into the Peter, right? If they come from God, you attack them, you attack God. But if this is come from themselves, right? When time pass, it's going to, the congregation is going to disperse. And this is a advice with wisdom. So what does that mean? That means that group people who follow the Judah of Iscariot, or the first historical event, they did not follow Jesus. They follow what? A man. When follow a man, the person disappears, everybody disperses. So what does that mean, a wise master builder? We have to build up the faith of the church member. So the church member will follow Jesus Christ, not follow the worker of Christ. Now, there's a difference there. Now, if we follow the worker of Christ, when the worker of Christ gone astray, everybody follow. But if we follow Jesus Christ, when the worker gone astray, nobody will follow. That's the difference. So we have to be very, very careful, very cautious about this. So in TJC, even a full-time minister who bring many truth seekers to the church, to Christ, even a full-time minister being excommunicated or committed adultery, nobody follow them. What does that mean? The members' faith really built on the truth. And that exactly what the Bible said. Master builder should be wise. Now we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 14. But you deny the Holy One. First Corinthians 2. Verse 14. If anyone work which has he has built on it endured, he will receive a reward. 15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Why? Because we put a lot of effort into it, but because we use the wrong material, so when the member encounter the fire, the face collapse, so all our effort become in vain. Right? But he suffer loss means our effort has no good result, but he himself will be saved, because the builder will be saved. He commit no sin, he still believe in Jesus. His work had no good result, but the builder will be saved. Through the fire. Through the fire means all the work been burned out. We ourselves can be saved, but our work have no good result. So this is called the master builder. Any question so far regarding to this parable? So when we serve as a builder, right? We have to use the wisdom. Think about how can I build this member's faith so that he can survive the fire, the test. That's the most important question we think about. Any question? Reflection?
So,
yeah.
So far, this member referred to we build something on others' faith, not instead of ourselves.
Since we build other people, when we do the holy work, right? Actually, you become an RE teacher, you are building the faith of the student. Of course, if we want to build others, we wish ourselves to build our first. Build up ourselves first. This principle can apply to ourselves. Yes.
So even like when our work is not going to bounce through the fire of tribulation, we can still be saved. Because this verse is very confusing.
Why? To me, it's very clear. If I believe in Jesus, right, and I firmly believe in Jesus, I firmly believe in TJC doctrine, right, I can be saved. I stick on my face until the end, I can be saved. However, when I doing the pastor work, I emphasize a lot of blessing, I emphasize on vision, I emphasize on human factor, because of this and that, that person, this person, so you should not leave TJC. Your parents are three generations, so you should not leave that. Instead of emphasize on that, on the truth, the member faith probably cannot survive the fire. But I myself, I insist the faith, I can survive the fire.
In this case, you use the builder aspect, but you say you can also apply this into like I build my faith, my whole faith is a building. So if my building at the end, they cannot stand for the tribulation, so which means I fail. Then how come you still say that you can still be saved? He himself will be saved. Yeah, so that's why.
Because the person, the builder himself, they have a good material to build their own faith. But the builder's work to build other people's faith is not a solid material. So there is a separation, yeah. Just like you build your own house, use a fire resistant material, right? Your own house. But if you build other people's house, you use a wood, the same thing. When the fire comes, your own house survive the fire. But other people's house, because you use a wood, all of a sudden being burned out, the same thing. Yeah. We can discuss more after dismiss. After the rest. Any other question?
Doesn't do the work of Jesus, and the question is how can it be saved? That I think is the
question. Well, if I don't preach heresy, right? I preach the blessing of Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong, right?
If you preach yourself, you are proud and you take the seat of Jesus. And I'm not sure if you will keep it.
Well, let's look into a practical example. In start from 1979, we went to Africa. Right? We helped them a lot of material, give them a lot of money, even the full-time minister, right? Oh, and help their daily needs. Right? But when we cut off the money, all the worker fall.
Parable is just for when we use material and we are not able to give the truth to the member. But if we have, even if we preach ourselves, even if it's the truth, and we are not able to bring people to Jesus because of our pride, I'm sure no way to be saved.
Yeah, but because if we build our own faith with different material, right? Then probably our salvation had problem. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. It's clear. It's okay.
Oh, okay. Because we have other. Yeah. So there's an implication there. Oh, when we go to the Africa. Sometimes you will feel, hey, how come AMC minister have no love? Well, why you don't bring money to them and help them? They are in need. We have a reason there. Yeah. The reason, not because we don't have love. If we don't have love, we will not go. The reason we don't give them money is because we want them to be independent in faith. They believe because of faith. Just like Peter say, silver and gold I don't have. Right? But I give you whatever I have in the name of Jesus, ask you to walk. Right? Actually, if Peter want to get silver and gold, he can get some. Because in the apostolic church, they sold all the property they bring to the church. They just rush back to the church, they can bring some to them. But Peter just don't want their faith built on material, giving of material. Yeah. Also in Africa, when there's an emergency, we still help them. And the church helped them to build a material building. Right, emergency and material building. But for daily need, daily necessity, well, if they worship God will take care of them. Just think about, if we don't go there, how do they survive? They still survive. Right? All the villagers, everybody live the same life. Yeah. So there's no way we bring the money there, try to leave only a small group of members there. The living standards try to elevate higher than other people is not a wise way from the biblical point of view. Their motivation of faith will be changed. So in Africa, you can see a very easy to cause a person fall. One is money. Original worker, very good. When you start to touch the money, start to change. The second is position. Once a member, very original worker, very good. When you put a title, you are the chairman, not long later he collapsed or faith. Another one is of the sex. So almost all the worker fall out of one of the three reasons. Money, power, or of the sex. Yeah. Okay. So the end of the parable, we just think about one question. What can we help this church member so that his faith or her faith can keep the life long until he dies? This is the help to think about this question. What can we do so that this member's faith can survive all the difficulty until he dies? So the answer is very obvious. Giving the money is not, you cannot do that. Giving the money itself is not a good way to build the people's faith. And encourage them to pray for the blessing of God is fine, but it's still not enough. The true reason is truth. We need to teach them the truth. Yesterday we studied about third one, steward. Next section we are going to study the next one, the father. Let's pray inside. Amen. We rest.